Romans. Dive into God's Word tonight. Romans chapter number 1. And I absolutely love the book of Romans. I believe it's one of the greatest books ever penned. I do believe it's Paul's bestseller, if you will. He just covers so much, and it was a needful time. And so we're going to dive into Romans chapter number 1. And there's pros and cons to, how do you want to state that? There's pros and cons with preaching every now and then. So many times you prepare, but you don't know when next time you're going to preach. And so you prepare. And then all of a sudden you come up with 3 sermons, and then you want to preach all of them at the same time. So the Lord might help us tonight. I'm going to preach on. I won't do that. Y'all be in the back sneaking out eating chicken. Well, I'm going to be preaching by myself. I know y'all. Well, I know us, I should say. Amen. If you're there now, Romans chapter number 1. And let's get to chapter 1, verse number 8. When you get this off, stand. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 8. And I do thank the Lord for a couple weeks ago, if you have Jubilee, and how we just get rekindled and get on fire for the Lord, and all the Lord has done for us at that time and as we go forth. And I just want to help all of us, each and every one of us, to dive into God's Word and see what He will have for us tonight. And so we're in Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 8, and we'll read a few verses and we'll get after it. The Bible says in verse number 8, the Bible says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a properous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may comfort together with you by the mutual faith bond of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but when I was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The Lord going to help us tonight. We're going to preach on what every Christian should be. What every Christian should be. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. And Lord God, I pray for the next few moments, Lord, as you help us, as we dive into your word, help us to focus on what every Christian should be or ought to be or need to be. Lord God, I pray you forgive me of my sins, Lord. I pray you enter me and myself, fill with your spirit so I can preach what thus saith the Lord. Lord, we are needy people. Lord, help us tonight, for we need you. Lord God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. What every Christian should be. As I begin to just study and look through the book of Romans, I was challenged, I was helped, I was in need of the Lord to do something for me. How many of you ever been there? Amen.
Amen.
I need the Lord to help me, to strengthen me for the journey as we just begin to get back to our normality. I just need the Lord to do something. I might be, I want to read something that's new, something that's fresh, something that's old, or something that still works. And that's when I decided to go look at the book of Romans. As I begin to think of the book of Romans, I think about all that Paul went through as he was attempting to get to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us all that took place over the book of Acts. You go through chapter number 13, going all the way to the end of the book of Acts, chapter number 26 or so. And so when you get there, you see Paul was on his way. Paul was on a journey, and he was in need. He was purposed in his heart to get to Rome. And you look at those few verses, it says, and I reached Rome. I wish that was the end of the story, though. That was the beginning, but that wasn't. So much happened on his trip as he got to Rome, as he began to pen this letter, as he began to witness and create this fantastic book and go through it all. And so I just want to go through a few verses to help us to understand what every Christian should be. And I look back, and this ain't one of my points. I got 10 points, but they quick, I promise you. I promise you, 10.9 points. It's about 9, but nevertheless, they're very short and quick and to the point. And as I look at verse number 1, it says, Paul, and it says, a servant of Jesus Christ. A servant of Jesus Christ. The first thing you see there, he says, I am a servant. That word servant there means a slave. He was under control. He was under the influence of Jesus Christ. He was a slave to Jesus. And he was called to be an apostle separate unto the gospel. Paul was about God's business, about Jesus' business. He wanted to get to a place and he wanted to preach the gospel and he wanted to encourage the people. He wanted to help them. He wanted to help the heathen, the hypocrite, and the third one is what, Faith? You remember? The Hebrew, amen. She learned something in Bible class. Glory to God. I'm a Bible teacher, by the way. But nonetheless, he wanted to help each and every one of the people. And guess what? We all fall in that category at some point or some time. Either we were, not necessarily Hebrew, but we was a hypocrite, and we were, and we stood so, anyway. A heathen, amen. But now that's who he's writing to. He's speaking to these people, and he's trying to help them. He's trying to encourage them in his time. And in my life, I have been blessed to see the Lord do many things, do many people. And I thank the Lord. I look back just for a short time, look at men of God. I can't help but think of Brother Leonard, how he has influenced me, how he has helped me, how he has encouraged me. I think about Brother Russell. You look back over time, our Sunday school teacher is texting us and sending all of us a paragraph or two. And I'm encouraged by that, amen, especially when we need, because usually it's Saturday, early Saturday morning, early Sunday morning, he's texting us. And all of this is just to encourage each and every one of us. For the last past 6 months, we all need some encouragement, amen. We found ourselves trapped in a house or trapped in the basement, trapped in a closet. Wherever you was trapped in, we was trapped somewhere. And I think about these verses, I think about how Paul was settled in his heart to encourage these believers and challenge them and also to correct them. The first thing we see in verse number 8, every Christian should be thankful. Every Christian should be thankful. The Bible says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul is thankful in his heart. Paul was a great example, almost a perfect example of what every Christian should strive to be. We should strive to be thankful. One of the shortest verses in the New Testament talks about being thankful. And we shouldn't just be thankful during Thanksgiving, amen? But we should have a heart of thanksgiving. We should have a heart of thanksgiving. Paul begins to write in Romans about motives. See, oftentimes we try to judge each other's motives, but we can't judge each other's motives. We don't know why you do what you do unless you tell us what you're doing and why you're doing it. Amen. That's what the Bible talks about over there in Matthew chapter 7. We can't judge each other's motives. However, we can judge each other by our fruits and what we produce. Right. So if I'm lying and cussing and stealing and doing all these ungodly things, more like I fall back to that category of a heathen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I say amen. It's hard. But nevertheless, we should be thankful, and every one of us could learn from this lesson, these verses, how to have a heart full of thanksgiving. If you go with me, I'm just going to give you a couple verses dealing with thanksgiving or thankfulness over there in Philippians chapter number 4. In verse number, I believe it's verse number 10. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 10. I'll read a couple verses here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse chapter 4, verse number 10. The Bible says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be, always to testify this, be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. The Bible then says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Oftentimes we take this text and we take it out of its proper context. He's saying, we normally say, you can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And yes, you can. But in the context, he's saying, I could be high and I could be low. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Will give me strength to go forward. So he's telling us to be thankful and have a heart of thanksgiving. Over there in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verses 6 through 9. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verses 6 through 9. The Bible says, but godliness without contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation of a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Oftentimes we quote that wrong. We say love of money. But the Bible says, for the love of money, we often say money is the root of all evil. But the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Then it says, which while some coveted after, they desire to have, they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So what the Bible tells us here, as Christians, we should have a heart of thanksgiving. We should be content. Now, that doesn't mean be lazy. Let's not get twisted, as young folks say. Don't get twisted. We should be thankful. We should go forth, amen, but we shouldn't, I want. We shouldn't have a heart that's full of covetousness, amen. Not only that, but we go to Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 5. Many of you know this verse, and my Bible is written right by this verse. I may ask one of y'all to read. I'm going to read the first part. Hebrews chapter number 13, the Bible said, let your conversation be without what? Covetousness. And be content with such things as you what
have.
So be content with what you have. Have a heart of thanksgiving. So not only should have a heart of thanksgiving, every Christian should be thankful, but every Christian should also be committed. Every Christian should be committed. Go back to Romans chapter number 1 and the beginning part of verse number 9. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. You know one of the hardest things on the face of this earth to do? What it is to do? It is prayer. Mm-hmm. It is prayer. You can set a clock, you can set alarms, you can do all the different things and get in preparation for prayer, and all of a sudden you get sleepy. All of a sudden you get hungry. All of a sudden you get thirsty. All of a sudden, your phone starts ringing. Mama calling, and kids crying. You try to go in the bathroom, your sanctuary, and hide from everybody. But people start banging on the door. Amen. So we try to be committed, but we need to be committed in prayer. Find you a prayer closet, amen. And let everyone know it's your prayer closet. Now, don't hide in the prayer closet, amen. But actually, pray when we're in that prayer closet. But find your place when you got to get away, and that's your little sanctuary, if you will, and be committed. And be committed in prayer. Paul now tells the Romans to be committed. Oftentimes these Romans, they was committed. They was committed to gain and do all different things that's outside the world, outside of the avenue in which he was trying to tell them. But oftentimes we need to just settle in and be committed. If you look at Romans chapter number 12 and verse 1 and verse number 2. This is a verse that teaches us to be committed. But if we're going to be committed, first of all, we have to be transformed. We have to be transformed. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or your logical service. The Bible then says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need our minds, we need our hearts transformed.
Amen.
Early this morning, I was laying in bed, and then my daughter came in the room, and I asked her, has she studied? I told her, I'm a Bible teacher, I'm a dad, I'm a youth pastor, I'm a coach. She probably didn't tell. Anyway, but she came into the room, and then all of a sudden, I said, hey, you studied for your memory verse? It's Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And she said, yes. And I was shocked. Today's Tuesday. We have a test on Friday. Nobody studies that early. Well, most kids don't study that early. And all of a sudden, she began to write off that verse. And boom, 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 boom. And then I smiled, proud dad. And dad said, how do you memorize that thing so fast? And then mama kind of busted out. She said, she learned it in sixth grade. But she still memorized it. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. And how do you memorize something? In order to memorize something, you have to be committed.
Yep.
You have to be committed. I coached football. I came straight from football practice. And I did something this year, or last 2 years, I usually don't do. I didn't give the kids a playbook. What I did, I constantly and continuously ran the drills over and over and over, ran the plays over and over and over again in their head. I don't want them to go home and just look at a piece of paper, because sometimes we're good at memorizing, but we're not good at studying. There's a difference, amen.
Oh, yeah.
We can memorize and go ahead and repeat something, but then a day or two asking that same question, and we're not able to fluently say the same thing. Why? Because we just looked at it, memorized it real quick to pass the test.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, the Lord, He brings something up all over again, and we have to retake that test, and all of a sudden we start sweating and say, I didn't study for that test, but she said you memorized it. So there's a difference in just looking at something. You have
right.
to be committed. Prayer takes commitment. Memorizing verses and memorizing scripture and knowing where things are in the Bible takes commitment. It takes commitment. How committed to the things of Christ are you? Do you have a reputation as being committed at work? And then you get to church, and then we just kick off our shoes and relax off again. But we just not committed in the house of God.
Mom.
We just want to coast. We just want to relax.
Mom.
One of the things that drive me crazy, I'm sorry, I'm trying to help everybody. But one thing that drives me crazy is somebody said what they used to do. Yeah, we used to do that. We did all the things for the house of God. That's wonderful. Okay? Last time I checked, you can't really retire as a Christian, man. There's no time to retreat. There's no time to give up. You have grandchildren. You have great-grandchildren. Guess what they're doing? They're looking at you. They're looking for you and looking to you to be that commitment, to be committed to the things of Christ. Don't give up now. Don't throw in the towel. It's not time to rest, amen. It's time for us to commit and to go forward in Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And every Christian should be committed. Not only that, but every Christian should be prayerful. In verse 9, in the latter part of the Bible says, He says, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Well, I don't know about you, but I love people who just happen to remind you, hey, brother, hey, sister, I prayed for you today. I prayed for you. I don't know about you, but that does something for me when I know somebody else has made a commitment to prayer.
Yes.
We all need to be committed in prayer. This prayer list that we're doing, we're not just doing this to waste 30 minutes, amen. We're committed to prayer, amen? We're committed to praying for each other.
Amen.
It changes lives. It changes things. You go over to Luke chapter number 11, and verse number 1 through 3. The Bible talks about prayer. And he used the example of a woman, of a mother who was committed in prayer. I don't know anybody on face earth who's more committed in prayer than a mom. Me and dad, we're just, what you still doing up? I'm going to bed. Mama up, not necessarily worrying, but mama's praying, amen? It's because of many of our mother's prayers that we're still here today, amen.
Yeah.
Mama prayed us through some things, through that accident that you just avoided. Oh, that's just luck. And I ain't no luck, that's just not my happenstance. Somebody was praying for you. Be committed in prayer. I'm so thankful for the people that continue to pray for us. Over in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 18. Oftentimes we forget to read this verse as we read the different armor. We skip over this verse and we just kind of fast forward and read through this. But I want you to take it real slow and read through verse 17 and then let's go to verse 18. The Bible says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen.
What's right after God?
Anybody colon.
A colon. Where's a colon? English class. What's a colon?
Change of thought, same subject.
Say it again.
Change of thought, same subject.
Change of thought, same subject. That means it's going to continue. It's not a run-on sentence. It's going to continue. So it's connecting two thoughts. It's connecting. Look what the Bible says in verse number 18. He says, praying always with what? With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Are we persistent? That's what perseverance means. It means to be persistent. Let me give you a picture of what persistent means. You trying to sleep, you trying to rest, and all of a sudden, you got one of your kids banging at the door. I'm talking about faith right here. Just banging at the door. Mom! 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 Dad! Now she don't call dad. I just can't ignore that. It drives me crazy. All of a sudden, and you know what she does now, next? I don't know who invented this stuff right here, but all of a sudden I get a text message. Dad! Dad! And then I get $5. Came out the pool, my neck was still good. The whole dad, is this true or false? She knows it's true. Dad. And all of a sudden I say, what? With all caps and exclamation points. What do you want? But see, if we're persistent in prayer, as a father, this drives me crazy when someone continuously, knocks and knocks and knocks. All of a sudden I get everything in my pocket here, take it. Just take all of it, amen. Because I want that. I want to leave me alone, but I really want. But I want to ask him. As a father, I want to ask him of prayers. Now, if an earthly father would do something like that, how much more will our heavenly father answer our prayers when we continuously knock and continuously knock and continuously knock? Amen. Keep on knocking. Keep on praying. Be persistent in prayer. We serve a God who is real, amen. We serve a God who is real. He wants to answer our prayers. Not only that, but we need to be, every Christian should be surrendered. Every Christian should be surrendered. In verse number 10, the Bible says, making requests, if by any means now at length I might take a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. The word prosperous journey means, okay, I'm on here right now, hold on. Succeed in reaching. Paul was a man who was fully surrendered unto God. How do you know that? Go back to Acts chapter number 16 and verse 6 and verse number 7. I'm going to read this real quick. Acts chapter number 16, verse number 6 and verse number 7. Sometimes we forget about what Paul actually went through. But in Acts chapter number 16, verse 6 and verse number 7, the Bible says, now when they had gone throughout Perga and the region of Galatia, Galilee, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word to Asia, they were, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into there. Go again. What's that word? How you say it, brother?
Essayed to go to Bithynia.
Bithynia, thank you. But the Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit permitted them not. They were not able to go forward. And so since Paul was surrendered, Paul was fully committed to the Lord, he essayed or went in a different direction. So he listened to the Holy Ghost. How many times did the Lord say stop? And we keep going.
Come on.
How many times the Lord said, don't date that person? And we continue to date that person. Mm-hmm. Well, last time the Lord said something to you and he said stop. Don't eat that. But Lord, this is Portillo's. It's Italian, I'm sweating saying that. It's Italian beef dipped with hot peppers. You don't eat that. You struggle with high blood pressure and all the other things. Not talking, I'm talking to somebody else. Now. But you struggle with all different things. Stop. Oftentimes, we don't live a surrender life every single day and every single moment. We're talking about moments now. Always surrender at all times. Paul was. Paul went in a different direction. And many people are very, very thankful that he did. That's when he took his different journey and went to Asia Minor and went to that area to help those people. Not only that, but every Christian should be usable. Every Christian should be usable.
Yep.
As I think about being a youth or being a teenager, there are some things at our parents' house, at our grandparents' house, that you just could not use, right? I remember that couch. They had the plastic on. I still don't understand. I don't understand.
Come on.
They had the plastic on it. Okay. Only the adults or only the important people who came over could sit on those couches and go in the living room. Amen. They had this china cabinet. I've never seen my mama use those things, but it's for a purpose, right? Those plates, whatever it is. It was silverware also. It was set to the side. It was for a purpose. I don't know what that purpose was. But as
Come
I
on.
Think about it, I start having kids, right? So I start having kids. But we have children. All of a sudden, children start washing dishes, right? And all of a sudden, you know, I used to this. My wife was washing dishes, and I was washing dishes. I was going out to grab it, you know, swig a little bit, and then pour my drink, you know, pour my orange juice or my water, whatever, and I was just drinking. Now, all of a sudden, we become inspectors. All of a sudden, looking all in there, you got to, sorry, y'all. But we look at that thing, we gaze into it to make sure it is usable, right? Nobody want to use dirty utensils, amen? Nobody want to use dirty utensils, right? Michael? Huh? I'm not talking to you on this. But we want clean utensils, right? For a week and a half or so, we didn't have any hot water. We had cold water. And all of a sudden, We still got chores. We still got to clean the house. And all of a sudden, I grab a spoon. I'm like, what in the world? What is all this? Is filmy stuff that's a long time ago. Well, what's the filmy stuff we can have? The filmy stuff that's on the spoon. And all of a sudden, I realized, man, we got to boil water. Y'all had to do that, boil water, clean stuff, do all that. Yeah. Well, all of a sudden, I thought about it. I thought about the Word of God. And I thought about over there, and the Bible says it's in the book of Timothy. Let's run over there for me. Run over there with me real quick. The book of Timothy. I'll tell you which Timothy is in. I believe it's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, I believe. I believe it is. Second Timothy chapter number 20.
Chapter 20.
Oh, chapter 20. See, chapter 2 and verse number, oh, right, verse number 20. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 20, but in a great house there are only not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some of honor and some of dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So if you think about this, the Bible said if a man purge himself of these. Well, purge, that means to cleanse. And that means to cleanse thoroughly. See, if you ever study vessels, Brother Russell, you can back me up with this. If you ever study vessels and blood vessels, blood flows through those vessels, right? Right? Amen? Yeah. And so as the blood flows, it flows through. If it's open, if it's clear, it flows through there. But what happens all of a sudden if it's backed up, if it has calcium built up in there? You know what happened? What happened, Brother Russell? You have a heart attack, Brother Russell.
Yeah.
Sorry, brother. But you have a heart attack, amen, because the blood is not flowing like it used to, right? It needs to be purged. It needs to be cleansed thoroughly. And then it can be meet for the master's use. The Lord does not want to use dirty utensils. Yes, I know we're not perfect. I get that. I understand that. But we do take baths. Amen. We do cleanse ourselves, amen. You know how we can thoroughly cleanse ourselves? It's with the Word of God, amen.
Yeah.
We bathe daily in the Word of God. So we want to be usable. Not only usable, but we want to be humble. And I'm moving quickly. We want to be humble. The Bible says over there Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 12, the Bible says this. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. He wants to be humbled, what this is speaking about. Every Christian should be humble. If you go to Philippians chapter number 3, and we're going to turn it, you can mark that for your notes. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through verse number 14, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was where? Also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself, right? And became, he was fashioned in the form of man. Even to the death of the cross, he went for it. But the Bible tells us to have the same type of mindset that Christ had. What type of mindset did he have? He had a humble mind.
Yeah.
He had a humble mind. Not only a humble mind, but every Christian should be fruitful. In verse number 13, he says, in Romans 1:13, now I will not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. What should we all be? We should all be fruitful. If we're going to be fruitful, we must have the right type of attitude. We must have the right type of activity, right? We bear Christ's fruit. We don't produce the fruit. Those who are on the inside produce the fruit. We just bear the fruit. The Bible says over in Galatians chapter number 5. So we have the right type of attitude, the activity, and the addition. That's addition, not by subtraction, but we want to be fruitful and we want to multiply. That's how we grow a church. We don't add one by one, but we multiply two and by two and by two. Oftentimes in the book of Acts, you see them going out by twos to encourage and to build the church and to build their place in whatever area they was in. But not only that, every Christian should be obligated. They should be obligated. Verse number 14, the Bible says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul was trying to hit everybody. He was trying to encourage everybody. That's what Paul was trying to do. He was obligated. He had a duty as a Christian to reach all of these people. And finally, not only that, but we all should be, in verse number 15, we should be eager. The Bible says So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul was eager to give out the word of God. He was eager, or he was ready to give out the word of God. If you go back and just look at the book of Acts, about all the things that Paul was trying, what Paul went through as he was journeying and as he was getting to Rome, when he's trying to get to Rome. The Bible doesn't mention all that there. He said when he got there, you know what he was doing? He was ready. He was ready to get to work. Even after being bit by a venomous snake or a viper. Even after being shipwrecked. Even after being stoned two or three times. Paul was ready. Paul was eager to reach those people at Rome. What are you eager to do for the Lord? What are you ready to do for the Lord? There's a list up here talking about Sunday school. Are you eager for Sunday school to start back up? Are you anticipating all those wonderful kids coming, screaming, running? Right, amen. Are you ready? Are you eager for them to come to Sunday school? Are you eager for the choir to start back? The chairs are here. Are we eager for that to start back? Are we? Let me duck for this one. Are we eager for Sunday night to start over, amen? Are we eager for Sunday night, amen? No, we're not. No, I'm not. Amen. I like that rest. Did y'all like me? Y'all enjoying that? Y'all enjoying being home on Sunday night? Y'all ain't going to be honest. But nonetheless, we should be eager for all these things of the Lord. Let's be eager. Let's be ready to get back to work and to do things for the Lord. There's people all around us, a new community. There's people all around us that's hurting. You have no idea. We have no idea what all these kids be going through. Not necessarily adults. I'm talking about the children. All the time we try to hide things, try to shield things from the kids. You have no idea what all these kids, what all these students are going through. Let's be eager. Let's be ready to serve. Let's have a humble spirit. Let's have a thankful spirit. Let's have a surrendered heart. Let's be usable. After we're usable, let's be committed to the things of God. And let's see Lake Station. Let's see Gary. Let's see Northwest Indiana. Turned upside God. Upside down. Upside God. Upside God. That sounds good to me. Upside God. I don't know what that means. But let's turn this world upside down as we are eager and committed and willing to do something for the Lord. Will you join me in prayer? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. I pray that this word from you, I pray that it was helpful. I pray it was encouraging. I pray it was challenging. Lord God, I pray you help us to live a life that's pleasing to you. Help us to die to ourselves and to live for the Savior. Lord, we love you so much, Lord. I pray you just help us today, strengthen us in the area that we need strengthen, Lord. I pray you help us. Lord God, we love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray.